This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here, part three conversation. Dr. April Kemp from Southeastern Louisiana University. Dr. April, ready? Future of sales? Ready to talk about it?
Yeah.
All right, let's tackle this topic. For people tuning in, make sure to check out part one and part two if you haven't. We talked about authenticity. We talked about persuasion. So many things in those conversations leading up to this. Dr. April, she is the professional sales program coordinator at Southeastern Louisiana University. Comes from it from sales and marketing, and is also teaching marketing and sales and kind of all those perspectives, which I absolutely love, because I think one of the biggest things is there's marketing people, there's sales people, they go into organizations, they create these silos, and then everyone's like doing their job, controlling their fiefdom, and then pointing fingers at everyone else. And I love the fact that you're doing both and teaching both and hopefully integrating both into that. From that perspective, I'm going to make a little change from what I normally would ask to start the future of sales conversation. What do you see for the future of sales in organizations when it comes to that dynamic between marketing and sales?
I think that's a great question. You know, part of my dissertation, I talked about those silos and the importance in the future. We're going to have to break down those silos because content marketing is more important than ever. Salespeople are going to need to be that expert leader for the organization, be able to post content and engage with people on social media. And so, you know, traditionally, marketing and sales were very separate, but in today's world and in the future, we've got to work together. We've got to make sure that, you know, sometimes salespeople are not going to be good at creating content, let's be honest. But on the same other side, salespeople are the ones interacting with customers, and they're going to know what types of information is going to resonate, what stories are going to resonate with the customer. And so I think that if we're able to break down those silos within organizations and create really good content that works together with the sales and marketing side, then that's where organizations are going to excel and do very well with resonating with the customer.
So you did research, dissertation. What did you find, if anything, for what causes these silos? Like what's the leading factor to silos of sales and marketing?
Well, you know, I think that really it's not anyone's fault per se. It's just kind of how organizations have been set up over the years. And, you know, really there are lots of silos, you know, even outside of marketing and sales. And so, you know, accounting works on their stuff. You know, you've got your management team, you've got all these different silos, and we have it on university campuses too. If they're not in our college, a lot of times we don't interact with other people. And so I think this speaks to all organizations is we can be a lot more efficient, and a lot of us are doing things that intertwine within organizations. Why not break down those silos and interact and be able to learn from each other and be able to be more effective by working together versus just in our own little world? So it's not anyone's fault. It's kind of just how organizations have been set up over the years. But moving forward, we're going to have to do a better job of collaboration. And because the world moves so fast, we've got to be able to create content fast. We've got to put it out there fast, or we're going to be behind the ball on that. So, you know, it's not just about taking time to get things done like in the past. The world moves at a fast pace. We've all got to stay on top of trends and being able to do what's going to resonate with the customer at the end of the day.
So I completely agree. We want to break down these silos, not have them. They're going to happen no matter what, like you said. I mean, you know, finance is doing their thing over here. Operations, customer service, sales, like all of these the departments, divisions will have their thing. But specifically, what are some ways that sales and marketing work together since you've done research and you are teaching to both of those groups?
Sure. This kind of goes back to some of the other research I was talking about earlier is, you know, why can't we look at it from a storytelling perspective? Microsoft hired a chief storytelling officer to be able to make sure throughout their organization, they were all telling the right types of stories. So this might be thinking too much into the future, but I'm going to throw it out there. You know, if your organization can think from a storytelling perspective and come together I'm not saying how often, but at some point every so often, and be able to talk through those really good stories that we can use from a multiple different perspectives, because in customer service is hearing great stories, our salespeople are hearing great stories, then how can marketing take that information and create content that puts it out there that's going to resonate with the right types of customers? So that might be a futuristic perspective. And some people might say, well, we can't do that. We're a small organization, whatever it is. But really, you can. If you really break it down and have meetings and talk about what stories are out there, success stories that we can use, not as us, our company as a hero, but the customer, what's going to resonate with them and be able to help them improve their business.
Well, and I think any organization, if they see the value in it and they want to do it, no matter how small they are, they could make that happen. Even if it could be meetings about it. It could just be ways that people could submit stories into some kind of database. And then you kind of take that and jump with it from there. I think really it's about the value of that and what you're talking about as an investment versus, okay, this is an extra task and now we have this other thing. It's like, okay, but is what you're doing working now? Is your sales process, your sales conversations, your marketing, is it working? Could it be more effective? Where would your own internal stories from a customer perspective help and make a difference? And I absolutely love that. In the future of sales, right? Of course, now is also in the future. What do you see potential customers wanting more of and less of from organizations and salespeople?
Well, you know, buyers are more savvy than ever. They're able to do research earlier in the process. They're able to get information. They can probably find pricing sometimes. They're able to find out from other customers what they thought about your company and your products. I mean, there's a lot of information out there. So I think that they're, you know, if they're looking, you know, you're kind of meeting them further in the process. And so it's more challenging for salespeople and for organizations to be able to get to the people at the right time. So, you know, it goes back to our prior conversation of, okay, well, if they're looking for information, is your organization, your website, your social media platforms, are they set up for people to find you as a solution? You know, if you're creating the content that resonates with them, it's going to have to come from a perspective of what solutions do you provide that have helped other customers, almost like case studies and other success stories that are going to be able to, you know, show them, oh, you know what, here's a potential option for me. Let me reach out. And they're going to expect to get information quickly. So we've got to have a way for, if it's a form, if it's a chat option, people want information very quickly because they're going to move on a decision. They probably need to make that decision yesterday. So if they're looking for a solution, that means they have a problem right now. And is your content allowing them to find you if they don't know you as an option? And then from there, how quickly can they get information from you? So I think there's a lot of pieces of that at play and making sure that you're ready to go in that type of situation.
It makes total sense. I think so many people in sales still think that when they speak to someone for the first time, that's the first time somebody's thought about an issue. And maybe it is, but then that sales cycle is going to be really long because you're starting early in that awareness part of the process. But if somebody's reached out to you and is asking for a demo or a meeting, or is even going into that meeting, like they've done the research. And I'll tell you from my side that sometimes I want to find the best solution. I'm doing research. Then I go to a technologies website and they don't have pricing listing on there, which is one of my biggest pet peeves. I understand they're trying not to just be order takers, but obviously from my perspective, I think they have a commodity and I don't care. And I will literally Google really hard to find somebody who talks about their pricing before I want to interact with them, because I just don't want to go through their process, their sales process and their hoops. And I love that you're talking about that. I mean, you know, from a sales organization side, it's setting up that process. And so how do companies do that? Like if we're faced with that, where the buyers of the world, just assuming they have more information, more awareness, and they've done some research, right? Not everybody, but assume that they have, then what should salespeople be doing more of or less of in their sales process?
Yeah, I think that organizations can start with their salespeople, and whether it's, you know, brainstorming, okay, sales team, what are some of the challenges that you're hearing out in the field? What are some of their problems? What are some of the things they're looking for? And then from there, if the salespeople aren't the right fit to create content that they can post on the website and social media, then have your marketing team work with them to create blogs and to create podcasts or to create content that, the salespeople can actually post that allows you to tell that story of, you know, here is how we can, or how we have, it'd be great if we have successors, but if you're starting from scratch and you don't have those yet, then you're going to have to create that content from there. So I think you really do have to start with your salespeople and figure out what are some of the things you're seeing, what are your customers faced with, because you're not going to be able to create the right content if you're not providing the right solutions and putting it out there. So I think that if it were me, that's where I would start, is to have that conversation with the sales team, work on, you know, creating blog posts and content that salespeople can post. But I mentioned this in the other session, it doesn't need to be these, you know, you can tell they're corporate written. Let the salespeople be a part of the process. Let them customize it at least a little bit, because then it's going to be more authentic. It's going to come from the right place and people are going to actually pay attention to it. I have several people I notice on my LinkedIn where I can tell they're just reposting something their corporate headquarters created. And that's not the goal. That's actually a waste of time, in my opinion. So you've got to be able to really think through how to tell the story. How do you have the right pictures that people are going to actually pay attention to? Because people are more likely to pay attention to pictures and videos even more. So if you can create something that's going to get people's attention and they can see your salespeople as experts in the field, then that's going to help set you up for future business.
So where do you see technology fitting in appropriately and fitting in well in the future of sales, like to support salespeople?
That's a big question, because a lot of organizations have different sales stacks, and that could be a whole nother podcast I'm sure you've done with people. So from my perspective, you know, you have to have the right balance for your organization. You know, you don't want to have too many resources where the salespeople are overwhelmed and they don't feel like they can use the resources. But, you know, if it's even just Salesforce and integrating that technology to be able to have information at your fingertips and being able to follow up appropriately and sending out the right types of emails. I'm very impressed with your podcast because you were really good at the follow-up and the emails. Even though I could tell you set them up, it was good reminders, and being able to have the right types of communication that are following up, because a lot of salespeople don't follow up. But if you're at least setting up the right type of emails and, you know, information to put out there, then that's going to help build your credibility, build those relationships. And so, you know, I don't think that companies need to overcomplicate their sales stack. They need to see what they really need. And even if it's starting with Salesforce, then if they see there's other opportunities to build in something else, then you could try it. But at the same time, you don't want to get salespeople too overwhelmed with having so many different resources at their fingertips.
And where is that balance for the salesperson themselves in using the tools? Not just like, here's the company is providing this giant buffet of sales enablement and technology tools, but salespeople using technology to leverage what they should leverage, versus sometimes where salespeople try to use technology to make up for the stuff that they should really be doing, like, let's say, conversations.
Yeah, this is a fun conversation with salespeople, and a lot of them cringe when they hear Salesforce or if they hear about the technology side of things. But when I've had sales managers come and talk candidly about their salespeople that are doing really well, I always ask that question about the technology piece. And they're the ones who are, you know, keeping good notes in Salesforce. They're able to use Salesforce. There's different components of it that will help you to do your pre-call planning and to be able to be organized with your territory, making sure you're not wasting time going to the wrong locations. There's lots of different pieces of it that if you are organized, because you've got to be organized to be successful in sales. And I know that's sometimes a challenge for some salespeople, but but using those tools can help you. And they, if you use them appropriately, if your organization is training you appropriately, then you can use them to your benefit. And if they're not, there are resources out there that can help you to train and be more effective with using the tools as well.
Do you see any shift in the general tendency that people who go into sales like having conversations, like the people part, and dislike the CRM, the data entry, the notes, the logging, the follow-ups, the all that? Let's just put it under the admin bucket, even though that's not fair. Do you see a shift in that with the students that you've been teaching, or with people in general, or just, you know, when they leave your class versus when they start? Because again, I know a lot of people go into sales and then their CRM usage is garbage. They don't put any notes. They don't do follow-ups. They just kind of wing it and just focus on conversations.
Yes, I have lots of those conversations. And, you know, maybe there's opportunity with AI coming on board for there to be able, you know, if they're not good at physically typing and keeping up things, maybe there's a way to use AI to help input that information after a visit. They can say it to their phone and they can help them get it in there faster. You know, I think there's lots of opportunity for the future. I know a lot of people are scared with AI, and even as educators, for me to talk about that, they get nervous about ChatGPT and all these things that they think students are going to cheat with. And yes, they probably will. We're not naive. However, there are ways that you can use it from a positive standpoint that maybe can cut down on some of those tedious tasks, because I have heard of salespeople cringing when I talk about Salesforce and about CRM and putting information in there. And I get it. You know, I really do get it, because it's a lot to manage, but there might be opportunity to cut down on some of that, but yet still be effective.
Yeah, I think there's a balance, because I find myself constantly, especially with clients, where it's like, it's 2023. Why are we doing X, Y, and Z manually, right? Like, why is that even a thing? Like, you know, in some realms. And I do agree with you. I think with the AI technology and things that can take a call and a recording and summarize it in notes and bullet points and action items, like, and do that well and getting better and better, I think there's so much value, because it's going to put that in the system. The question is the salesperson then use that on the follow-up, on the second call? Do they remember those items? They look through it, or are they just like, I don't even remember this? You know, the value of putting it in yourself and kind of cementing it in your brain. I guess we'll find out. What are you seeing, since you brought up like AI and ChatGPT? What are you seeing students wanting to do with that in a sales role, or where it could be valuable, or where it's like making them, I don't want to say lazy, but making them think they can rely on that versus relying on themselves?
Yeah, I'm hearing lots of conversations. And, you know, students, they feel pretty comfortable sharing with me information. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But I think a lot of times it comes into them wanting to save time. So other colleagues might call it being lazy, but actually, you know, I get it. They're trying to save time and use their time efficiently. So you know what? I have respect for that, because I have that same perspective as well. So, you know, I think if we look at it from I'm mostly seeing it as students, but looking into them using it in sales, it might help them save time thinking through a certain topic. A lot of times lately, me and Dr. Butler will be like, okay, we just need to get our thoughts started. Sometimes you just need to get your thoughts started. So you can use ChatGPT to get more information fast. Maybe you're driving and you can say, you might be going to an appointment that week at a certain type of industry you're not familiar with. You can get ChatGPT to tell you a little bit more about it. So, you know, I think if we think of it as a resource and as another way to help us save time that we would have manually done things before, then let's think of it as an opportunity, and how can we use it from a positive standpoint versus a negative standpoint?
Yeah, and I think it's the value I've gotten from it myself so many times is solving that, you know, blank canvas type of problem, right? Where it's like, I don't know about this and I don't even know where to start. And maybe I could Google it, but then that's going to take me to, you know, 100,000 web pages that then I have to figure out what those mean, versus like, all right, let me ask a question, give me some data. Okay, now I can go from there. And then that balance of realizing like, okay, this is a start. This isn't the whole homework assignment. This is just helping me get going. And I think that's valuable. So one question, I don't think I've ever asked a guest this before when we're talking about the future of sales, is one of the things you've told me, and I think it was before we even started recording in the first episode, is talking about your students are actually your customers, right? Like those are your customers. They're paying for a service and your job is to provide above and beyond that, right? Like when we look at the whole model of schools, and I think that's fascinating and interesting. What do you see for the future of sales programs at universities, specifically Southeastern Louisiana University? What are you seeing or wanting to see in the future of these programs?
Yeah, I think that it goes in line with the topic of technology, because we've got to be adaptive with learning more technology and implementing it in the classroom. And so I think, look, the sales program coordinators that we interact with, we're doing a great job. We are preparing students more than they ever have been before. Sales programs are growing and we're seeing more and more. You know, we are able to teach them on the sales process. We're able to build skill sets and interact with companies and getting them jobs and all those things. Great. I think for the future, we're going to have to keep up with technology trends and being able to train students on hands-on, you know, usage of those tools so they can ramp up faster from that perspective too. I think they're ready from a sales process standpoint. I think they have no problem role-playing and being able to go into organization. But there's going to continue to be technology changes and we're going to have to keep up with those changes. And even with what we talked about today with being able to be experts in the field, we've got to show them the value of using social media and how they can use it to become experts and sharing those stories moving into their future career.
I love it. I think it's so important. And I can imagine the challenge is the technology side, because you're basically trying to stay current and or ahead with the technology that the companies are using, but you're not necessarily using, right? Like you don't exactly have probably a big need to use Salesforce and marketing automation within your classroom to your students. So it's really you using it or learning it and having it available, because that's what your customers are going to be using, right? It's almost like B2B to C. It's like I'm helping you so that I can help you help somebody else and learn that process.
Yeah, so we can be creative. So I've been able to start now. Is it perfect? No. But we've started using CRM as part of us selling our golf tournament in our advanced class. And so getting students just basic knowledge of CRM and being able to communicate and follow up and be able to see what it can do is a step in the right direction. And so I know a lot of the programs are doing similar things to allow students to have that hands-on training. Is it where it needs to be? We can always improve. We're always growing and learning, but I think we're headed in the right direction.
Well, and I think with that, and then always staying on top of what do buyers want, let's say in a B2B sense, not just your customers, which are the students, but like the buyers out there in the buying public, what do they want? What's resonating with them? What do they want more of? What do they want less of? Like the research you're doing, probably the communication and the feedback you get from your corporate partners and companies within the area that you're dealing with, like feeding you that info so you can always be, you know, helping the students learn what's applicable now, versus I know that some of the issue with some of these programs / marketing / business programs is the professor was once in business a long time ago and is now teaching it from the same book and teaching business stuff that's like no longer relevant, right? Versus, you know, with sales, it's so fluid. I'm sure that's a challenging thing that you got to always stay on top of. Final thoughts. I'll let you have the last thoughts. Anything else regarding the future of sales and selling that comes to mind?
Really, just my future thoughts is I think that people are more open to going into sales careers, which is exciting. I think for organizations, they are going to have a challenge with retaining top talent, because today's generation isn't afraid to job hop and look for the next opportunity. And so that's kind of where my next research project is headed, is we've got to really look at how to retain top talent. And part of that is potentially at making sure we have the right company culture and the right resources, mentorship, and having the things that are going to keep people motivated and want to stay at your organization. And so it's an exciting time for sales. And, you know, I'm excited about the future. future, but at the same time, we do have to make sure we're appealing to the future talent and being able to retain them. So we're not spending too much time recruiting over and over, whereas we can continue to build the skill sets of our team that we have in place.
I love it. I think that's great. I think that's so important. Turnover within sales is always, has always been an issue. Usually it's from underperforming, but again, now you have this thing where someone's doing really well. It's like, I could take my talents to any other team instead, or maybe I want to try something new, or I could just make more money, or I think I could make more money. And then how do you keep that talent that you want to keep? Which I think is important. So can't wait to see that. And I love this whole side of like researching what people are doing in business, but looking at it from an academic research side. I think that's just so fascinating and fun. I absolutely love it. And Dr. April, thank you for being here, talking about all these topics that we covered all this time and wisdom that you shared. I appreciate it. For people who want to connect with you, they can do so through LinkedIn, April Field Kemp. They can find you on there. Also the program, which is southeastern.edu/sales. Both of those links will be in the show notes, plus the rest of your information in your bio. But again, as we wrap this up, Dr. April, thank you for this, for what you're doing for the future of sales, how you're helping these students before they enter out in the world of sales, or shifting them if they're already in sales and before they graduate. So thank you for that. And thank you for being here and everything that you shared today.
Thanks, Jason. I enjoyed it.
Good. And I appreciate everyone who's been tuning in. Hopefully got some value. Hopefully you're ready for the future of sales, because it's now, whether it's about breaking down silos in your organization, understand the marketing side, making your customer the hero in your sales process, not just as a customer, but even in the sales process, whether it's, you know, using technology appropriately, staying on top of it, remembering that your buyers, your potential buyers have already done research and are way further ahead and need you for less information and more for guidance and wisdom. Hopefully this helps you in some way. Please make sure to follow Dr. April and her content online, as far as well as the program. You know, if you're in that area or you want to get involved, please make sure to reach out. And until next time, until the next conversation we have, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.